Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
Tonight, if you've got a Bible, I want you to turn Mark chapter 4. We're going to read it together. Mark chapter 4, I want to read a famous story that if you've been in church for any length of time, that you probably know this story as well. Before we get there, I just want to introduce you to my wife. I think we've got a photo of my wife somewhere on the screen, potentially. Nope, it's just a guy facing and turning towards Chosen. Anyway, just imagine how my wife looks. She's beautiful. She's about 5 foot. She's a Filipino. She's amazing. I've been married about 3 years. My accent is a little bit weird because I lived in the Philippines for about 4 years. And so that just changed my accent and made me sound American with some words I say. So that's why I sound a little bit weird and not like a proper Queenslander. Is that okay? We can handle that? All right. Good. Mark chapter 4. If you got a Bible, turn there. And we're going to read. I'm going to read 9 verses. Starting in verse 1, this is what it says. Again, He, that's Jesus, began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil." Somebody say good soil. "Other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Tonight, I want to speak from this simple thought, this simple title, good soil. Good soil. Look at the person beside you and say, good soil. Good soil. I've been married for about 3 years, and which makes me an expert of marriage. I'm just kidding. It does not make me an expert at all. But my wife's amazing. So many great things. We celebrated her birthday the other day. She's awesome. I love her very much. But tonight, if it's okay, I want to take you inside one of the issues that we've encountered in your marriage in the first 3 years. Is that okay? Can we just do a bit of marriage counseling tonight? We good? Okay. So this issue that I've encountered with my wife is we have this thing where, like, because in our relationship, I'm kind of like the visionary, I'm the creative, I've got big ideas, big dreams, all these things. And she just brings a great dose of realism to our marriage, right? Any husbands know what I'm talking about? Like, it's like I have the ideas and then she just kind of tells me what's actually possible. And so we'll have these moments where I've got a great idea or what I think is a great idea and she will just shut it down. When she hears it from me, she shuts it down. But when she hears it from someone else, she thinks it's a great idea. So we had this issue. Recently, I've been getting passionate about vacuuming. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any adults, you passionate about vacuuming? Okay, all right. Not on the north side of Brisbane, apparently. South side, we're passionate about vacuuming, right? So been getting passionate about vacuuming, watching all these TikToks and YouTube videos about vacuuming and resetting the house. I'm like, I want to get a Dyson vacuum. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. Great suction, powerful, it just works, it's aesthetically nice, it's good, right? And so I told my wife, like, babe, I want to get a Dyson vacuum. Like, I know it's expensive, but it's an investment, it's going to make our house nice, it's going to be good, it's going to be clean, the suction is powerful, like, it's worth it. I'm trying to convince my wife. And my wife says, no, it's a bad idea, it's overpriced, the vacuum we've got is fine, we don't need a Dyson. I'm like, okay, whatever you say, you win, we won't get a Dyson. Sitting with some friends just after Christmas this year, and these friends begin to tell us about how they've recently purchased a Dyson vacuum. They begin to share how it's just transformed their whole life and their marriage, how it's making cleaning so much easier. And they're saying all the same things that I was trying to sell my wife on the Dyson vacuum. The suction is great. I know it's expensive, but it's a great investment. And they're saying all these things. And much to my surprise, my wife responds, "Oh yeah, babe, we should get a Dyson vacuum." I was like, babe, that's what I've been trying to convince you for the last 3 months. You haven't listened to me, you haven't believed me, but now you want to get a Dyson vacuum, right? And so I'm not kidding. My wife pulls out Amazon Prime and orders a Dyson vacuum right there on the spot. I'm like, it's what I've been trying to convince you. And it's a funny moment. We have these moments all the time. Another time I was trying to convince my wife about a holiday spot. I had in my mind that Vietnam would be a great spot to go. Anybody been to Vietnam? Great. Was it good? All right, fantastic. I was trying to tell my wife the same thing. And I was telling her, I saw some videos, like, I think Vietnam would be a great place to go, the history and the culture and the food, and it's going to be good. My wife says, no, sounds boring, don't want to go there. One day later, you can't make this up, less than 24 hours later, her sister calls and said they're planning their honeymoon and they've just booked flights to Vietnam. You can't make this up. My wife's like, babe, let's go to Vietnam. She opens up TikTok, she's looking at all the things, she's like, we're going to Vietnam. So when I have an idea, my wife doesn't buy into it, but when somebody else has the same idea, my wife is all ears. That's an insight into my marriage tonight, but it's interesting. It's taught me something, that we can have the exact same thing in our lives, but it's not just what is in our lives, the way we receive it is so important as well. So in that moment when we're talking about the Dyson vacuum, what I was saying and what my friends were saying about the suction and the investment and all the great things about a Dyson vacuum, what we were saying is exactly the same, but the way that my wife received it when it was coming from them was different to how she received it when it was coming from me. I've learned through this that we can have the same thing, but it's not just what we have, it's how we receive it that matters. The exact same thing, but two different ways of receiving. I think this is the picture that Jesus is painting with this parable, that it's not just the good things that God does in your life, it's not just the good seed that God plants in your life that's important, but it's also how you receive what God wants to do in your life. Because Jesus is painting this picture of the different types of soil, and he's painting this picture of saying, I'm giving you the seed, but it's not just about the seed that's important, it's also the soil that is receiving the seed that is important. This explains to me why two people can sit in the same church and hear the same preacher and hear the same sermon, and one can walk out with their life changed and transformed and repenting, and I'm different and I'm changed. And the other person can walk out and say, man, the preacher wasn't very funny today. It wasn't good enough for me. I didn't take much away from that today. Explains why the same two people can be in the same church service, hearing the same worship leader sing the same songs and Christians running around the stage and going crazy, right? And it's like they can hear the exact same songs, and one of them can be face down in worship encountering God, and the other person can say, oh, worship didn't do much for me tonight. It's why the same teenager can go to the same youth camp, and one of them can come back forever changed, transformed, life different. And the other one can sit at the back twiddling their thumbs just waiting to go play basketball, and their life's exactly the same when they come back. Why? It's not the seed that was different, it's the soil that was different. And so I'm learning in my life that everything we do with God is a partnership with God. It's always a partnership with God. His seed partners with our soil. Everything we do, it's a partnership with God. We have this guy in our church. He's one of our youth leaders. He's an amazing worship leader, creative guy. He's incredible. You ever meet those people that are like super humble, like too humble? You know what I'm talking about? I met this guy and I was getting to know him. This is kind of when we first moved to the church, and he led worship one day. It was amazing. It was powerful. And I went up to him after this. I was like, man, that was amazing. That was so powerful and anointed. And he's like, oh, no, bro. It's all him. Points to the sky as if it was all Jesus. And I let him say it a few times and went back and forth. And eventually I stopped him. And I said, bro, first of all, it wasn't all him. Because if it was all him, it would have been a lot better. Like, it wasn't Jesus singing up there. It would have been a lot better. It was not all him, I promise you. It was good, but it wasn't all him. But secondly, it wasn't all him. Like, you're the one that sat down in your room and learned the songs. You pulled up the chord charts. You studied. You learned. You've got this gift that's been given to you by God, but you've practiced and refined and honed your gift. So it wasn't all him. It was a partnership. God's partnership. God partnered his anointing with your hard work. So everything we do in life, it's a partnership with God. His seed meets our soil. His anointing meets our hard work. His calling requires our response. And so I've come to this realization with my life, and this is what God has been challenging me with lately, that if I want to see a harvest in my life, if I want to live out the fullness of all that God has for me, it's not just going to be because God puts good seed in my life. It's going to be because my soil is healthy and my soil can steward what God wants to do in me. We need to have good soil. We need good soil. Your soil is your heart, your thoughts, your actions towards God and people. I've learned this: the seed is God's responsibility, but the soil is my responsibility. I can't always control what people say about me, but I can guard my heart and protect my heart towards people, even when they wrong me.
I can't control always the tough seasons and the circumstances that I walk through, but I can control my attitude as I walk through those seasons. Yes. Parents, you can't always control what your kids do, but you can control the environment that you create in your home that creates an environment for your kids to succeed and to flourish. We can't control everything. Life's gonna happen. I wish someone told me that when I was young. Following Jesus does not make your life perfect, but it does give you someone perfect to do life with, but life happens. And so we can't always control what happens to us, but we can control our soil. We can take ownership of our soil and say, I may not have control over the seed that God puts in my life, but I do have control over the soil and the way I steward what God puts in my life. So I want to encourage you tonight to have good soil, and I want to pose the question to you tonight, whether you are the youngest Christian in the room or the most seasoned Christian in the room, I want to pose the question, how's your soil? Is your soil good and healthy? Is your soil ready to steward all that God is trying to do in your life? Does your soil have the ability to steward the good seed that God is putting in your life, or is your soil putting a cap on what God wants to do in your life? I learned that growing up, I was like, I want to earn money and stuff. And you know what I've had to do as I've gotten married? Is I've had to actually learn how money works and operates. Why? Because if I don't have the soil to handle God's blessing, God will bless me. And I'll be silly with my finances and I won't know how to handle what God is giving me. Yeah. You've got to have the soil to steward what God is planting in your life. So how do we get this good soil? First, I want to look at the unhealthy types of soil that Jesus describes. There's three types of unhealthy soil he talks about. The first is the path. Everybody say the path. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say the path. The path. Jesus here is talking about people that have no soil in their life. And so yes, Jesus is talking about people who don't have a relationship with Jesus. They literally have no soil in their life. But I think also what Jesus is getting at here is people that don't have any room in their life for God to move and for God to change things in their life. I said it before, but so often we can relegate church and reading the Bible and praying to a religious box we tick rather than a relationship that we live in. And if coming to church is a religious box you tick, you will not get much out of church. Why? Because you're not here to change. Your soil isn't ready for God to move. You're just here to tick a box and then go and live my week and do whatever I do. We can't treat God like a religious box to tick. We have to treat God like a relationship that we live in. We need soil in our lives. Soil is when I hear the word of God preached, I've got soil that's open and receptive and saying, God, what do you want to change in me? God, what do you want to shift in me? I've heard this before, but God, there's something new in this word. It's not, I've read this parable hundreds of times. God did something new in me. Why? Because my soil was ready and open for God to move. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you humbly tonight. If you've been approaching church as a religious box to tick so that you can go out and live exactly how you've been living, I would challenge you. You're missing out on all that God can do in your life because you don't have soil. You're just showing up and ticking a box. If we want God to move in our life, if we want to steward all that God's given us, we've got to have soil that is open and receptive, saying, God, whatever you want to do, I'm there for it. God, whatever you want to change in me, I'll change. God, whatever you want me to do this way, I'll do it. We've got to have soil that's open and receptive to God. Let me tell you, Jesus didn't die for you to come to church. Jesus died to have a relationship with you. We need soil in our relationship with Jesus. The second type of soil is similar to the first one, but it's a little bit different. It's the rocky ground. And these are people with no depth in their relationship with God. It's not just about having a relationship with God. It's about having real depth in your relationship with God. I was sitting about a year ago with some young adults in our church, and I love young adults. Shout out to the young adults who are in the room. Let's go. It was funny. I was sitting with these guys, and they were kind of complaining about, like, they wanted more deep teaching at our church. So they're sitting there, they're talking about, man, I want more theology, and I want to talk more about speaking in tongues and eschatology and all this stuff. And they're listing off all the things they want to talk deeply about. I'm like, all right, yeah, that's fair. I can respect someone that wants depth. And out, we're talking at church. We go to dinner after church. And I'm sitting at the table, kind of beside these young adults, but not in the same set of the conversation. I just overhear their conversation. And these same young adults that were crying out for depth at church, we want deep teaching, we want meaty teaching, none of this Jesus loves you stuff. We want deep stuff. The same ones were sitting there, and they were gossiping about other people in our church. And I looked at that moment, I thought, wow, we've really missed the point here. Because we're over here crying out for depth, but we've neglected some of the most basic basic things that Jesus tells us to do. You know what is far more important than eschatology and end times and pre-tribulation or post-tribulation and all these other things that Christians debate? You know what's far more important than that? And this is not an opinion, this is the Bible. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so I think sometimes we have this thing where we're like, we're desperate for depth, but it's almost like we want the appearance of depth without actually living deep lives. It's great to have depth. I'm all for it. We need more biblically literate Christians. We need more biblically literate young adults. I'm there for it. We need the depth. But if the depth is not matched up with deep living, then what's the point? If all we've got is deep knowledge of God and we don't actually have depth in the way that we walk with God, what's the point? What's the point? All it is head knowledge that we sit around and debate with other Christians, and it never actually leads to something real in our lives. I want to challenge you. If you've got a lot of knowledge about God, but you don't actually have depth in the way that you are living with God, I would challenge you to stop pursuing the appearance of depth and to start pursuing real depth in your walk with God. Real depth means you obey God when He speaks. Here's so many people that's like, man, I'm just waiting for a word from God. I'm just trying to discern what God's saying and what God wants me to do. I'm like, did you do the last thing He told you to do? Because sometimes we want to appear holy, like, and I hope I'm not offending anybody here, but like, we want to appear holy, like, I'm pursuing God, it's good. But we haven't actually done the last thing that He told us to do. Depth is not talking deep, depth is living deep. Rocky ground, we need depth in our walk with God. Let me tell you, a broken world will not be changed by Christians who have depth in their words but no depth in their lives. Teenagers, your schools won't be changed by Christians who come back from youth camp knowing about the Bible. Your school will be changed by Christians who come back from youth camp living out what the Bible says. Your workplace won't be changed by you coming back from church with the word of God that you got, although that's good. Your workplace will be changed because you live out the word of God that you receive. We can't just talk. We've got to live it out. We need depth in our walk with God. The third type of unhealthy soil that Jesus describes is the thorns. And these are the people. This is probably the one that I relate the most with. This is where God puts something in our lives and it gets crowded out by what's happening around us. And I think if we're honest, this is all of our New Year's resolutions. Anybody know what I'm talking about, right? Like, You ever had a desire to eat healthy and it's just crowded out by your love for Ben and Jerry's ice creams and chocolate and Sour Patch Kids? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever had a desire to, this year I'm going to go to the gym? And my desire to go to the gym is crowded out by my desire to sit on the couch and watch sports or Netflix, right? You know what I'm talking about? We have these things in our lives where it's like, I want to do this. But it's crowded out by other things in our lives. And this is what we do so often with God. God, I want to live for you. God, I want to read my Bible, but I want to sleep a little bit more this morning. And I just don't have time. God, I want to pray more. I'm going to get serious about praying, but then I pray with my phone right beside me and now I'm just distracted and I'm texting a friend and it's over. We've got these things in our lives like, God, I'm going to do more, but it gets crowded out by things in our lives. Maybe it's not just busyness, maybe it's not just tiredness, but maybe there's real things in your life that are crowding out what God wants to do. Maybe for you, your desire for a healthy relationship is crowded out by lust that you haven't dealt with for a long time. Maybe a desire to be used by God is crowded out by that seed of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness that's still in you. It's a thorn in your life that is crowding out what God wants to do. Let me tell you, if you do not deal with the thorns in your life, you will not be able to walk out all that God has for you. Why? Because whatever God plants in your life will be crowded out by the thorns of your life. I remember learning early on in marriage, as a kid growing up, maybe the married people can relate, but I remember thinking like marriage was the goal. So when I get married, all my problems will be solved, everything will be good, I'm good. Married people, how many of you know that is a straight up lie? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Some husbands are nervous to lift their hands and be honest. All right, we got one honest. Right? And so I learned early on in marriage, like, oh, marriage wasn't the end. Marriage was the start. And I've learned in my life that if I'm going to have a healthy marriage, I've got to deal with the things that are in me so that I can walk out a healthy marriage. If I don't deal with the lust and the impurity that's in me, it does not matter how great my marriage appears, it will be crowded out by things. Talk to so many young adults. I'm going for young adults tonight. I apologize to the young adults, but it's just letting it out, right? Talk to so many young adults like, Jake, I want to get married. I'm desperate to get married. I want a spouse. Oh, that boy's cute. I like her. She's so nice. And it's like, I want all this stuff. And I'm like, and I know their lives, and I'm like, hey, have you dealt with this thing? Because it doesn't matter how good the seed God gives you is. God could drop the most amazing man or woman in your life. If you have not dealt with the thorns in your life, you will miss out on the full blessing and the full harvest and the full fruit of a healthy marriage. Why? Not because the seed from God wasn't good, but because my soil wasn't good. His seed, it partners with our soil. So how do we get this good soil? I just got a couple things, and then we're going to pray for some people, and it's going to be good. The first thing is this. If we want healthy soil, you need to examine your soil. Examine your soil. I want you to ask the question tonight, where do I have unhealthy soil? And here's what I've learned. I want to challenge some of the more seasoned Christians in the room. You don't graduate. You never arrive at having perfect soil. It's something that we grow in until the day that we die. Where in my life do I have unhealthy soil? What little things, what big things, but what is in me that is not healthy? Maybe for you it's something little, like just a little bit of laziness, or just a little bit of insecurity, just a little bit of comparison. Maybe for you it's something big. It's like a deep sin, something in the dark, something that's been growing in the dark, and you haven't dealt with it for so long. And it's just sitting there festering away, and you haven't dealt with it. But I wonder tonight, where is your soil unhealthy? What unhealthy parts of your soil do you need to deal with? So I said it before, but the seed can be as amazing as you want. If you don't deal with the little unhealthy things in your soil, you're not going to have good, healthy soil. I want to challenge, if you do have moments where church becomes a religious box you tick, maybe tonight for you, you got to come back to your first love with Jesus and just sit in your identity as a son or a daughter of Christ. Maybe for you, it's as simple as just remembering how much Jesus loves you. You could have been in church for 30 years, but you may have forgotten how much Jesus just genuinely loves you and deeply cares for you. Maybe you're having moments where you're living in relationship with Jesus, but if you're honest, there's no real depth in your walk with God. It's like I'm showing up to church, I'm doing all the right things, I'm coming to youth on a Friday, I'm doing good, and it's all good, but you're not actually living with depth. Maybe for you tonight, it is a commitment to say, I'm going to start not just hearing a good word on a Sunday and then not applying it to my life. I'm going to start hearing a good word and taking it and applying it to my life and living my life with depth. Maybe for you, it's thorns in your life. It's real things that you've got in your life, big things, little things, but you've got thorns in your life. And tonight, you've got to get open and honest and humble and say, God, yes, I'm struggling with these things and I need your help. God, I'm struggling with this anger and I need your help. God, we're having problems in our marriage and we need your help. There's something so powerful about getting real and honest and vulnerable in the presence of God and saying, God, I need you to help me. He's kind. He loves you. He will help you. But it's not going to happen because we hide away the stuff that we're struggling with. It's going to happen because we get honest and open and vulnerable. We've got to examine our soil. I wonder tonight, what is in your soil that needs to change? What do you need to repent of? What do you need to let go of? What have you been carrying that you need to stop carrying and lay down at the feet of Jesus tonight? We got to examine our soil. And I love a sermon like this, actually every sermon, but especially this one. The Holy Spirit is a far better preacher than I am. Far, 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 far better preacher, right? And so in a service like this, maybe I didn't put a finger on what you're going through. The Holy Spirit will. So I would challenge you, listen to the Holy Spirit tonight. What's the Holy Spirit putting a finger on right now that you know you need to change in you? You can either sit there and pretend, well, I'm good, you know, I got it together. Or you can be open before God and say, God, I need your help. I need you, Jesus. The second thing, once we examine our soils, we need to obey God. Obey God. When God shows you what to change, I would challenge you, change. When God shows you something that you need to change in your life, change it. Healthy soil is obedient soil.
Healthy soil is obedient soil. I've learned this in my life. Again, I said it earlier, my soil is my responsibility. God can speak to you all you want, but at the end of the day, your pastors cannot obey God for you. Your spouse cannot obey God for you. Your friends cannot obey God for you. Nobody else can obey God for you. Only you can obey God. And so there comes a point in your life where you have to choose and stop looking to the right or the left and saying, God, I'm choosing to obey you. Feel this for the high schoolers in the room, because so often I would grow up in environments like a youth camp this weekend and be like, God, I want to serve you and I want to obey you, but then I'd go back into my school and I'd start looking to the right and to the left to what this person's doing and what my parents want me to do. And at some point, you've got to decide, God, I'm fixing my eyes on you and I'm going to obey you with everything that's in me. Some of you tonight, you got to draw a line in the sand moment and say, God, no matter what you ask me to do, this is not even just for the young people in the room, but for anybody in this room, some of you got to draw a line in the sand and say, God, whatever comes, whatever you ask me to do in my business, in my family, in my workplace, whatever it is, God, I am choosing to obey you, to fix my eyes on you and to choose you with everything that I am. We need to obey God. Our obedience is our responsibility. Only I can obey what God has told me to do. And the last thing is this, Ben, come and join me. It'd be awesome. The last thing is this, commit to the process. Commit to the process. Good soil does not happen overnight. It's a process we need to embrace for the rest of our lives. I'm happy to say that my soil is better than it was 5 years ago. But I hope that I can say on the very last day of my life, oh yeah, my soil is still getting better. Yeah. Good soil doesn't happen overnight. It's a process that you commit to every day for the rest of your life. Love what the Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I think sometimes the way we live is we almost live like the way we read that verse is, offer yourselves as a sacrifice one time and then keep living how you want to live. Offer yourself as a sacrifice one time at a youth camp and then keep living how you want to live. Offer yourself as a sacrifice one time at that big moment or that conference or that sermon that really got me and then keep living how I want to live. I love what Paul writes here to the Roman church. He says, I urge you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. What's a living sacrifice? It means an ongoing sacrifice. A living sacrifice does not sacrifice once and then say, I'm done with sacrificing. I was challenged with this a few years ago because I moved to the Philippines when I was 19 years old. Shout out to the Philippines. It's crazy over there, right? Like, I moved to the Philippines when I was 19 years old. It's this big sacrifice. And people would say to me, wow, Jake, that's an amazing sacrifice that you made. You left behind uni and all this stuff, less money, and you went over there to serve people. That's amazing. Wow, what a sacrifice. And it's true. It was a sacrifice. But I think what happened is I started to live off a sacrifice that I made a long time ago. 6 years later now, I can't keep pointing for the rest of my life to that time I sacrificed for God when I was 19, and that was my big act of sacrifice. I've got to sacrifice every day. Again, if I could humble, I'm careful how I do this because I know I'm young, I know I'm a youth pastor, but if I could humbly challenge some of the older people in the room. It's easy to say, well, God, I sacrificed for you when I was a teenager. God, I was a youth leader all those years ago and I sacrificed for you. And we end up living off yesterday's sacrifice rather than making ourselves living sacrifices before God. It's not a one-time thing, it's a daily thing. And so we need to commit to the process of being good soil. We're not a one-time sacrifice, we're a living sacrifice. I end with this. I've learned this the best through marriage, to be honest. Again, 3 years, expert. Let's go. I've learned the power of sacrifice through my marriage. I've learned that what makes a good marriage, and hopefully the married people will agree with me for real on this one, I've learned that what makes a great marriage is not the big moments and the grand gestures. Although those things are good and they help. So when I buy my wife flowers, she loves it. When we go on a nice date, she loves it. It's good. Like, those big moments do make a marriage. Our wedding day was memorable. Our engagement was memorable. Like, all these things are special and they're amazing. But what makes a great marriage is not the big grand moments.
What makes a great marriage, what I'm learning and what I'm in the process of learning, is that what makes a great marriage is the little mundane sacrifices that we make day after day after day. A good marriage is me walking past a dishwasher that I know has finished dishwashing, and instead of walking past it and just pretending that I think the cycle is still running, it's bending down and taking 5 minutes and unloading the dishwasher.
That hit a nerve with someone. Wow. Some husbands are getting delivered tonight. Let's go. It's amazing. I didn't realize dishwashing was such an issue in this church. Are we okay? We'll do a dishwashing altar call later on. Anyways.
Right, I've learned these things. A healthy marriage is, maybe this will hit a nerve again. A healthy marriage is seeing the overflowing dirty laundry basket in our room and not leaving to go and play golf and hoping my wife will do it while I go and play golf. It's taken 5 minutes before I play golf. I still play golf, but like, taking 5 minutes, putting it in the laundry. It's the little moments. A great marriage is seeing the dirt on the floor and pulling out the Dyson vacuum. And vacuuming instead of hoping my wife will do it later. So I won't lie to you, the big moments help. Doing those things in your marriage doesn't mean you abandon the big moments and stop buying the flowers and stop going on dates. Those things are good and they help and they are excellent accelerators. But a great marriage isn't built by those things. A great marriage is built by the daily sacrifice, day after day after day, committing to the process of being a good husband. And the exact same is true in our spiritual lives. Yes, the big moments help. Yes, the youth camps help. Yes, the moments on the altar encountering God and crying in the presence of God, they help. Yes, the moments of surrender and laying things down and all these big significant moments that we can point back to, these things all help. But that doesn't make me a strong, healthy Christian. What makes me a strong, healthy Christian is every day picking up my Bible when I don't feel like reading my Bible. It's praying when I don't always feel like praying. It's choosing to commit to the process of building good, healthy soil in my life. Being a healthy Christian isn't the big moments. It's not the church services, although those things are good. Being a strong, healthy Christian is committing each day good soil. Making the little decisions each day good soil. Making the little decision to live with integrity in your business when it would be easier not to. Good soil. Making the little decision to choose what is right over what is comfortable. Good soil. Making the decision to show up at church when your kids are crazy and you don't feel like going. Good soil. Teenagers, making the decision to show up at youth on a Friday night even when you're tired and you had exams in big week. I'm going to show up. Why? Good soil. Good soil. Good soil. Good soil. God's seed is good. God's got far bigger plans for your life than you do. God's got far more for your life than you could ever ask or think or imagine. He's the God of exceedingly, abundantly more. But he chooses to partner with our soil. The Bible says his power is made perfect in my weakness. He's perfect, he's powerful, but he chooses to partner with my weakness. He chooses to come and to find me in my mess, in my brokenness, and all the things that I've done wrong. And he partners with me. And if you would commit tonight saying, I'm going to have good soil. I'm not just going to depend on the seed, but I'm going to have good soil. I'm telling you, God would do something powerful in your life. And you will see an amazing harvest and fruit and breakthrough in your life. So tonight I want to pray. I get such a sense that the Holy Spirit is here and he just wants to just do something so personal in each person's life, because the reality is it's different for every person. What your issue is will be different to the person beside you. What your thing is will be different to the person beside you. I just want to pray tonight. I just get a sense the Holy Spirit is here and he wants to do some business with some people tonight. Across the room, if you're able, could you just stand to your feet right where you're at? Thank you, Jesus, that you're here. Thank you, Jesus, that you're here. Couple groups of people I'd love to pray for. But if you're here, say, Jake, that's me. I've examined my soil and there's stuff in me that needs to change. Like when I look at the soil of my life, when I look at the state of who I am, when I look at the thoughts, the heart posture, the attitudes, the things that nobody else sees. I'm not talking about what's visible to other people. I'm talking about what's in you. And you know. The Holy Spirit's putting his finger on things right now. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, but you're saying, Jake, that's me. I've got some stuff I need to deal with. I just want you to be bold and courageous. Lift your hand right now. Lift your hand across the room. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Second group of people I'd love to pray for in a moment. I want to open the front if we can and just pray for some people. But second group of people I'd love to pray for is if you're here and you'd say, Jake, tonight, I need the Holy Spirit's help to live in good soil every day. I've been trying, I've been working, I've been doing, but I feel like I just can't quite live with good soil. And I need the Holy Spirit's help. I need his help to break that sin. I need his help to set me free from those chains. I need his help to help me every single day to do the right things day after day, week after week, month after month. I need the Holy Spirit's help. What this is not like, hey, for the first time, if you want the Holy Spirit, come down. Although if that's you, please do come. But I'm asking if you say, Jake, like, I know I need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. I know I need his power. I know I need his strength. I know I need his help. I need him to help me have good soil. That's you with every head bowed, every eye closed. You might be in both of these groups, but I want you to lift your hand right now. I need the Holy Spirit's help. I need his help to help me live with good soil. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what I want to do tonight. I want to pray for as many people as we can. I think team and pastors will help me, but I'd love to tonight. We're going to worship for a moment. I'd love to invite you. If you lifted your hand for either of those things and you're saying, Jake, tonight I need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. I need him to fill me and I need him to help me. I want to just open up the front, this amazing altar, and I want to invite you to just come to worship God. We're going to pray for you and believe for the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh, to touch your life. And so if that's you, if you lifted your hand for either of those things, I want you right now, just get out of your seat and make your way to the front. If you lifted your hand, come on, just come. Yeah, awesome. A lot of people lifted their hand. I want you to be bold and courageous. Get out of your seat. This is for the youngest and the oldest. There's no junior Holy Spirit and there's also no senior Holy Spirit. That's you. Just keep coming. Beautiful, beautiful. There's stuff you want to repent of and let go of tonight. Just make your way to the front. The Holy Spirit is here. If you're here at the front, here's what I want you to do. We're going to come around and pray for you, but I want you right where you're at just to lift your hands. Lift your hands to heaven. Holy Spirit is here across the room from the front to the back. Would you do the same? Would you lift your hands to heaven? The presence of God is here. I want the team just to begin to lead us. We're going to worship for a moment. As we worship, we're going to come and pray for people. The team's going to come around and lay hands and pray. But let's encounter God's night together. Come on, lift your hands. Lift your voice, team. Begin to lead us. Let's sing.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.